I want to show you a very nice netziv, a really nice netziv. I saw brought down the following. It's such a the vihi sha'am dola v'seinu velonu. Did I say it here recently? Because I saw it a few days ago. Did I say it? Vihi sha'am dola. I said it a few times since I saw it. I don't know if I saw it here. If I said it here. Vihi sha'am dola v'seinu velonu. So that what does it mean? Vihi sha'am dola. Vihi sha'am dola. This is what stood us in good. That helped us. That helped us. Vihi sha'am dola v'seinu velonu and. Shlo echad bilvad amad lechad. I say only one person, not only power tried to destroy us, but in fact every single generation, and the good Agadas have got pictures of Paroi and then the Inquisition, Haman, the Nazis, whatever. Every Shom Dolav Yisrael. The question is, it's not even a question. It's not even a kasha. It's like Parsha Pshat. What is Vihi Shom? What is it that stood us? What is it that stood and helped us? What helped us that we survived? What is it? Oh, this is what helped us to survive. I mean, what are you talking about? What is it? So there's countless explanations, but none of them sound. So v'hisha amda, Parsh, maybe it's talking about haftoch of the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Another very yeshivish pshat is who I don't like gematria so much. I don't believe in gematria. I'm a bit thing, but those who like gematria, they say v'hisha amda. What stood us? What helped us? What supported us? What made us survive? Is v'hi. V'hi is Vav, Hey, Yud Aleph. Vav is for six, Sidre Mishnah. Hey is for Chamish Chamish Teiro. Yud is for Aseh Sedibes, and Echad is the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's V'hi, Sham Dala, V'sin, that's V'hi. Shvach HaTeiro, very Shvach HaTeiro. Don't like it. But what is really pshat in it? What is really pshat in it? What is pshat? V'hi sha'am dola v'seinu random out of nowhere. We say V'hi, oh, as if it's like following a paragraph. No, it's like I know if we'd be towards the end of the seder, everybody would be stuck there and asking what's it doesn't make sense. What is V'hi sha'am dola v'seinu? So I saw it. That's pshat. I tell you, that's pshat. I saw pshat. I really think that's pshat. And it seems as follows: V'hi sha'am dola v'seinu. What do we do when we say V'hi sha'am dola v'seinu velonu? We hold the becha, we hold the cup. Yeah, now, so they explain. I think it's a beautiful pshat that what do we lift up? We lift up the becha. It's not so posh in halacha. Why we lift up the becha at that time? It's not so posh. So Nisif says, I'll tell you what. V'yish amda is referring to the becha, to the wine inside, to the becha, to the kos. Why? What does wine represent? What does wine represent? And here comes the vault. Wine has got, halachically speaking, a very different level than any other beverage that we have. Why? Because wine has got the halacha. Well, can you? What's different, halachically speaking, in wine? Brocha. I'm not going there. It's true. But be a girlfriend. But I'm not going there. He's going elsewhere. What about wine? Yeah, but I'm not going there. And it's all true. It's all true. Not brocha is related. Not brocha is related. Something about says so. He says that there is a halacha of stam yenom, not yenesach. Stam yenom. Stam yenom means that if I've got a wine which is totally, totally kosher, I know it's 100% kosher, but it's produced by a goy. The halacha is stam yenom. Rabbinic or midrabon, you don't have to drink it. You need to have a wine which is being manufactured and produced by a yid. Now, what happens if you've got apple juice, which has been made by a goy, but you know, 100% sure, this apple juice, orange juice, 100% kosher. Can you drink it? Of course. Sometimes they shy in kashers, but generally, if you know it's kosher, you can have Tesco's apple juice, no problem. But wine has got a different halacha, a distinct rabbinical issa of stam yenom. Where does this issa of stam yenom come? Even if you know it's kosher, you can't have goyish wine. Why? Chashashav? So it's not, that's Yainesach. It's not Chasnes. That's what you're referring to is Yainesach. It's not right. Stam Yenom is because of Chasnes. Chasnes means that we're concerned that if there's a very deep social interaction with a goy, we drink wine and this, before you know, when we're all a bit happier and excited, what's going to happen? We're going to, my son with your daughter, Mazel Tov Lechaim. So it's like bringing a social closeness that we don't want to foster, we don't want to encourage. So wine, don't go to wine. No. You drink your wine, I drink my wine. We're going to have good business relationship, but no further than that. That's what Stam Yenom the Issa is. Now, Stam Yenom is a very, very extreme Issa. If you think about it, how likely is it that because I drink a cup of wine, which is good, how likely is it I'm going to end up marrying my daughter to your son? It's like very remote, very... Sometimes, what kept us going over the generations was that extra distance, extra chumrah. Not just to keep to the most strict, we sometimes keep an extra distance, extra precious, extra chumras. That's what kept us going. The extra chumras, the extra distance. It's not only, it's also talking about distance to the goy, but it also represents the wine that we drink. When we didn't just keep the main halacha and the essence of it, but we did it with a bit of chumra, with a bit of extra stringency, that's v'yishom d'olav v'sein v'lonu. That's what we lift up the becha, and that's just showing that v'yishom d'olav v'sein v'lonu. Beautiful vault. The reality is that it wasn't just one.
The friend is sometimes worse than
I want to say I saw somewhere, I forgot where, but I definitely saw somewhere. I don't know if it's in the Chazanish. I forgot where, but I saw something, an interesting observation. He said, I don't know where I saw it. In one of the Sforim I saw over the last few months, not such a long time ago, I saw somebody, one of the Gedolim, in a sefer that I saw, he writes, that it is a fact that we look at those who make it with the Rabbonons, the ones who make it with the Rabbonons, always ended up eventually transgressing the Torah as well. Eventually. It's a fact. It's a reality. Those who are make it with the Rabbonons eventually end up without the Torah as well. Of course, sometimes you can be make it with the Rabbonons, etc. But if it's a certain attitude, a certain leniency, have cares with the Rabbonons, person ends up without the Torah either. So that's that. I think it's a beautiful word. Beautiful word. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. So now we're going to be discussing Hilchas Tefillin, a very important halacha, which really deserves an extensive discussion. And here is a question that we're going to start, the conversation is as follows. When is a child on the bar mitzvah, when do we put on tzitzis on him? Tell us, Cotton. When? What age, approximately? Yeah, on the moment. What age do we put a talis on a child? A tzitzis on a child? Three, four, five. When do we put? When do we tell a child not to be mechal Shabbos? What age?
Three.
Yeah. When do we tell a child to not to eat fleishigs? Not to eat milchigs after fleishigs? Okay. Well, I'm not saying the 6 hours. I'm saying joint. When we say, yeah. When do we tell a child, when do we teach a child to start davening? As soon as he can,
Right.
When do we tell a child, when do we start putting on the tefillin on a child? What? Suddenly, when it comes to that, what suddenly? We're here, normally, most mitzvahs, we do them when they're 5, when they're 7, when they're 8. Suddenly it comes to tefillin, bar mitzvah. And that's what we do. Why? So you are saying straight out based on what we learned yesterday because there's a problem with Shemifia. Now, we're gonna speak about that. But is that the age? And also, it seems to be a very
they could have put it on once about it because they're mechuyev.
Yeah, the question is not why 13. The question is one or earlier. Very interesting. So I wanted to just point out that in some Sfardish circles. We're going to see some of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. But it is a fact that I have this memory when I live in Yerushalayim. There is some Sfadim that you have these little boys that are sometimes 10 years old, 11 years old. They put on talis because Sfadim anyway put on talis. Yekis and Sfadim put on talis when they are young children. You've got these Sfadim children who put on talis and some of you see them wearing tefillin as well. Pre-Bar Mitzvah, long before Bar Mitzvah. So there is such a Musik. And in reality, we can see that. Why is there no chinuch for tefillin? So let us see what Shulchan Aruch says about that. So, Simon Lamed Zayin Ziv Gimel Kotna Yudea Lishmoy Tfilin B'Tahara. A child who is Hayudea, who is able Lishmoy to safeguard the Kedusha Tfilin B'Tahara, the purity of the Tfilin. So that's your point. Shelo Yishan, that he shall not fall asleep with the Tfilin, because we know sleeping in Tfilin is forbidden. V'shele Achviach Behem, he's going to be able to physically, he's able to not be Mifiach with the Tfilin. Furthermore, Shlo Yikanes Be'el Leveis HaKriyas, also be careful to maintained not to go in the Beis HaKiseh with tefillin. He doesn't go to the bathroom, he doesn't go to the toilet with tefillin on. So you need to have a child who's got a certain level of maturity. Chayav aviv liknos lo tefillin lechan choy. The father is obligated to buy tefillin for him. Now, Rabbi said, what age is that? What? Yeah, very good. Yeah, so it sounds like we're not makbid on dvarim tefillin, and also has chadas is not mentioned. So I want to point out that Zivkot Miches points out something really crucial, which is follows: the kodem lechen in reshal niach tefillin velav chinuchu. So when it comes to tzitzis, yeah, is that a problem for a too young child if it's too young to put on tzitzis? Any problem with it? Yeah, so you're right. Sometimes, of course, if the nappies and all that is a problem, you're right. But in principle, really, there is normally when you start chinuch too early, the backlash is not too great. It's not normally okay. I know there is that chinuch. Children should only do things when they're ready to do, and it's important that everything has got milestone, etc. I know. But I'm saying, in principle, halachically speaking, if a child is a little bit too young for that mitzvah, you give a talit minim to a child who's a bit too young. There's no. It's not terrible. But here, when it comes to tefillin, yes, it is terrible. So I'm just saying there's an agenda. Normally, too early, it doesn't matter. Here, it's too early, yes, it does matter. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. There is no chinuch if it's too early. Now, so that's that. Now, so Mishnah Berurah adds over here, and he says as follows: Yesh oimrim dehai kotn davka kshu ben yud gimel shonem v'yom echot. The Ramona comes and he says the child that we are talking about with Gilechinuch must be 13 years old, 13 plus 1 day, what we call Bar Mitzvah. And that is the minig, and we should not change that minig. Lots to be discussed over here. Firstly, the age is 13 according to the Ramona. Shulchan Aruch probably means earlier. Shulchan Aruch says as soon as he's able to maintain that level of Shloishan Shloyafiyach, it's probably before 13. The Rama said, no, don't wait that long. Don't do that early. Wait for Bar Mitzvah. It is unclear why the Rama pushes it that late. It's unclear. It's a bit unclear. Yes, Shloishan Shloyafiyach, I don't know.
What do you mean, cotton? The high cotton.
That cotton. Yeah.
Do we not have a training stage?
Yeah, so no, according to the model, there's no training stage. Now, the training stage you're referring to, which is how long? Who's made Bar Mitzvah? How long? How long before do you actually, is the minig?
1 month.
1 month? You start the 1 month? 1 month? Is that everybody do 1 month?
3 months.
There's 2 minutes game. 1 month or 2 months? Or 3 months? So that's the Mogen Avraham. Let's look at that. So Sivkot and Tez Mishnah says lechan choy b'mitzvah zanechos and mechel lelamdo yadinim ani tzochim leze. Dafke here the Mishnah Sivkot Nido again points out koydim lechein before the right stage and before the right age ein manichoy lilboish tefillin. You don't allow a child to put on tefillin. I feel him yitzah, even if he wishes to. If an 8-year-old child says, please daddy, can I put on your tefillin? You say, no! The bevada in your day alish my tefillin, because son is unable to keep the kedusha of tefillin. So, a child, if it's too early, you may not let him put on tefillin. You've got Yud Aleph, says Ben Yud Gimel, if he's 13 years old, he does put on tefillin. Even if he hasn't got physical maturity of two sires, nevertheless, Bar Mitzvah puts on tefillin. Now, Sifkot Beis is mentioning and referring to the minig that you mentioned. There is a minig to put on 2 or 3 months before. Koydim Azman before the Zman. I'm Bivya Alocha. So that is a minig which is quite universally accepted in the Litvish world. Magen Avraham, we put 2 or 3 months before. Why do we do that? See, that's also a question. Why do we do that? Why do we put on 2 to 3 months beforehand? What is it? Is it because we feel that it's the right age? Now he's got the maturity of Shalei Afiyach and Lo Yishan Bohem? I don't think that's not why.
Just
Because exactly, because it takes that long to just get it right. To get used to making the brocha, to put on tefillin in the right place, to have that, it doesn't fall, to get it right. That's why we do it. So we don't do it because we feel that it's the right age. It's just in order to get him used to, either 1 or 3 months, to get him used to putting it on by the bar mitzvah. So again, we really do the bar mitzvah age. We just want to train him to do it right when he's bar mitzvah. And we don't actually look at when is the right age for him, when is he mature enough to do that. We just go with bar mitzvah. Now, by the way, the chassidim, how the chassidim do it? Where's Rabbi Feingold? Pardon? The day before, or that very day, the day of the bar mitzvah. That's when they start. And it's taka hard for them because they've got to get used to it straight away and everything. And
why are they training?
They don't believe in it. Bremer says, words of Bremer, clinically looking at it, it says bar mitzvah. Morgan Avraham says 1 or 3 months before, but strictly speaking, it's bar mitzvah.
The whole problem is nafiach.
Yeah.
Why can't we train them, just put it on for a very short time? Put them on, take them off. Put them on, maybe say Shema,
I think the answer to your very valid question is as follows. Chinuch is always based on the fact, the approach of chinuch is always, we make the children do something which they are going to do when they are adults. Same as an adult, you put on, when you say Kiyah Shema and Shmoneh Esreh, so therefore, in line with that, in preparation of that, children also, they have to do it when they say Shema and Shmoneh Esreh. If they're unable to do it at that stage, or we assume they may not be able to do it properly, then there's no chinuch yet.
But an adult who has a stomach problem would do the same thing, wouldn't
it? Yeah. But it's not that there's not the p'tur, it's just not, there's no chinuch yet. It's a very interesting shayla what you're saying, but it's not, you're saying that there's a p'tur. Somebody's a chole me'ayim, he's got a p'tur, it's an oynus. A child is not an oynus, which is not gil a chinuch yet. Yeah, it's true. I feel a bit the same. I've been struggling with this question for a long time. Well, as long as my boys have been put on that, but I think. And I think the best answer I came up with was actually a very recent shtickel Torah, which I saw. One of my sons' bar mitzvah shtickel was that. I saw it's based on the Megillah Sefer, right, which is a very contemporary posik. He says something, and I wonder what you think about it. It's funny that this Torah came out the first time recently. So for the last 1,000 years, literally, I don't know what. But I think this is a very good chat. And that's talking about another precondition we have for putting on tefillin. What is it? What is it? We spoke about it yesterday. There's another condition about proper fulfillment of mitzvah tefillin, which we discussed yesterday. Hesach Hadas. What's Hesach Hadas? Certain level of consciousness, awareness, focus and concentration. So here I can hear that we can say, for suggest it could be that children don't have that.
It's strange though.
What do you think about that? It's a good vote. I think it's a very solid vote. Yeah, but the cotton is a cotton. Even if they were children, even if they were goinish and they finished shas when they were just straight out of their nappies and they finished their kodesh when they were 5, and I know. Even if they are true, which often they are not, but even if they are true, they were still ktanim and they're still not mitzav to a minion, however great they were, and they were still not and they're still they're still ktanim. You still, you know, they're still a cotton, halachically speaking. You can't help it. Therefore, I think it's a good pshat. What do you think about it? So that the vote is that they've got a problem of Hesach Hadas. A child is a child.
Some people have the problem with Hesach Hadas when their children are adults.
Necessarily it's an age related thing myself. But I hear. But certainly for children, it's harder. You know, the focus and concentration of children is definitely more limited than adults.
I hear that, but it doesn't fit with the.
It does not fit. Correct. I know. I'm aware of that. But I still feel it's a very, very nice pshat. I know Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it, Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it, it's only mentioned in recent Mefarshim, but I like this vote very much. There is a... It means the 13th... Mishnah Berurah elsewhere speaks about it extensively. The 13th Yom Echad means the day that is turning Bar Mitzvah. So, I know there's discussion about it. What it means is that the Bar Mitzvah, the birthday, is always going to be the day plus one, the year plus one day. You're entering the 14th year.
So if you said, and you're Gimel, then it would imply you're 12 and
If you say Ben Yud Gimel, yeah, then he's not turning 13. He's not. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, but that's it's an important discussion when it comes to bar mitzvah boys. Every year, every it's always that question. But Mishnah Berurah always says you're 13 years plus one day, because that's when he's entering the 14th year, and that's when a person turns bar mitzvah. Well, so it's relevant also to your side of paskening shaylos when it comes to the odd sides and stuff as well, and shivas as well and all that. No, it probably. Do you have to encounter that as well? So bar mitzvah, lahavdil, is the 13th
birthday.
That's right. And that's 13 plus one day. It is. Okay. That's really the discussion. There are poskim who are taking this, there are poskim who are taking this question about when exactly to start. When to start exactly to put on tefillin, but that's a discussion which is it's a bit minig related and kehilas related, and sometimes I'm going to finish off with a story. My father-in-law said, my Shre says this story very often. I've got to get the facts straight. My oldest brother-in-law, Osher, he was born on Yud Elul, I believe. His birthday is Yud Elul. So I think it's Yud El. Yeah. So his a month before is Tisha B'Av, or maybe Tes El. I'm not sure exactly the details, but the point was that when he turned bar mitzvah, the month before he should have put on tefillin is on Tisha B'Av. So he was just on New Rav came to town in Copenhagen in the early 1970s, where my father-in-law used to live. And his new love came to him. It was the first child that he had. He said, man, it's the first child. It's the first child. It just came then. He moved to town as a new love. And my father-in-law approached him. He said, I don't exactly know when should this child start. My oldest boy, he's turning bar mitzvah. And he's to put on, when exactly should he put on? And the month before his bar mitzvah is Tisha B'Av. What should he do? And he had absolutely no clue. No clue what should he do. He put Tisha B'Av. Afternoon, with the bracha, without the bracha, she waited for the next day. He was completely right. I said, these are the questions I'm going to get over here. I think I'm going to make a U-turn. But he stayed, you know, was very successful for many years. But that's just an interesting shout. Okay, Rabbi Isai, having said this, we wish you a very good evening. Okay.